to listen to it as much as anybody.
Love Talk Radio.
Laughing Eyes Kennel presents The Gypsy Musher with Iditarod and Yukon Quest veteran Hugh Neff. The Gypsy Musher will share stories from the trail, fortune-telling, and memories of mushing years past. Follow The Gypsy Musher on Twitter and visit our website at gypsymusher.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from Willow, Alaska. And on the line, we have Hugh Neff himself calling in from near Charlotte, North Carolina. He's on his spring school tour. Hugh, how's it going?
Good, Robert. Yeah, we're calling you from my cousin Bob's here on the outskirts of Mooresville, next to Lake Norman. This is the heart of NASCAR country. Bob, say hello.
Hello.
Hi, Bob. I understand you're a pro skateboarder and a comedian. Is that right?
Yeah. In my dreams, I'm both, yeah.
He's a Bill Burr wannabe like the rest of us boys from Chicago.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, nice to meet you, Bob. Thanks for your hospitality for hooking Hugh up while he's down in those parts. Hugh, what's going on? You've been on the school tour for a little over a week now. You're heading your way south. How's it going so far?
It's freezing down here, man. I don't know how these people live down here.
You know, it's 51 degrees here in Willow. We finally are seeing green grass here for the first time since October or so, but I understand it's a little bit colder there than it is here.
Yeah, it's about 40 degrees. You guys might set your record tonight, you think?
Yeah, the record was set in 1917. We may hit it tonight.
Yeah, that global warming stuff, huh?
Well, in 2 days, it should be 87.
Yeah, they're calling for it to warm up by 50 degrees in 2 days.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like here in the wintertime, we'll go from 30 below to 30 above pretty quickly, at least down in these parts. But it's also snowing in Tok, is it not?
Yeah, I talked to my handler, Nick, this morning, and it was snowing there a little bit. But, you know, this time of year will disappear in a few hours. So just a tease.
Just a tease. So you're out there on the East Coast now. It's 10 o'clock p.m., North Carolina time, Eastern time, 6 o'clock here in Alaska. What's going on? I know you were up in New York, a Massachusetts area, and made your way south. How are the tours going thus far?
Oh, I'm already two talking during tomorrow will be my 11th and 12th, and it's been great. I got to hang out in Nicole's neck of the woods up in the Holyoke area outside of Springfield, Mass. And then I was doing a lot of talks in the Boston area this year and hung out with my buddy, one of my good friends, Ernesto, and he runs the Boston Snow Dogs Club. And we're actually trying to set it up so that he and I and possibly Nicole will be heading down, hopefully in August, to Chile. And, you know, they do racing down that way, so I'm able to, if not participate, at least be able to check out some of the dog mushing down south.
You know, what did they used to say way back in the day, Hugh, on the wild world of sports, all four corners of the globe or something like that?
I'm going for it.
I know you are. Just in the last 12 months, you're going to be in at least three quarters of the globe. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I love mushing in Alaska, and it's always going to be the greatest place on earth to me, but a big world out there, and I want to explore all of it if I can.
What do you know about mushing in Chile? Is it mostly cart mushing, or is it do they have snow there towards the Andes, or what?
Exactly, Robert. In the Andes, I've talked to, you know, with Mark Nordman, who runs the Iditarod, and he's been down that way helping official races down there. And it's going to be obviously steep terrain, and you know. Pretty close to Antarctica down that way, so they're going to have a bit of snow. And for me, it's an opportunity that I'm just chasing after. In this life, you can sit back and expect good things to happen to you, or else you can go out there and take risks and go for it yourself. That's what I learned from guys like my cousin Bob. He's been around the block.
So you mentioned that it's NASCAR country down that way. Are you a NASCAR fan yourself?
Well, these guys, Bob, it's like a religion down here for these folks, man. Who's your favorite driver?
Well, there's, it varies, right? Whoever's winning. I'm a fair weather fan. But
fair weather.
90% of the teams are down there, so, you know, we're it's a little different. racing than dogs, but still everyone's into it.
Well, God forbid Michael Jordan's Hornets or the Carolina Panthers, they aren't doing too good, so you gotta latch on to some sport, so it might as well be NASCAR, huh?
Yeah, but 90% of the teams here, you're generally going to have a winner, you know, whether it be Jimmy Johnson or you got everyone's favorite in Dale Jr., but, you know, I could go on and on for a long time on that stuff.
Yeah. You got basketball teams like North Carolina and Duke that are pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, in college, right.
But actually, this guy, unfortunately, went to the University of Michigan, so he's still recovering from the final. He went to the game, actually, against Louisville.
Ah, very cool, very cool. So Bob, when people are religious in NASCAR, it's definitely a deal where people take it seriously. I mean, they get the $100,000 RVs and spend the weekend at the track, don't they?
Oh, yeah. We've got race week starting on Saturday, which is the 600, and then the following week is the All-Star race. So people literally make a vacation out of it. People have been coming together for, you know, decades and meeting here, and it's a whole event. They camp for the week, and they get to see two races at either end of the weekend, so it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a zoo down here. I mean, there's restaurants with NASCARs, you know, within a mile of here on top of the roof, four of them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll take me out and make me suffer trying to water ski out in the lake next door here. There's a lot of well-known drivers that live around this area.
Very cool. So Hugh, you're down that way for you said two talks tomorrow. Where are you heading to next?
Well, then I had a talk the next day in the Charlotte area. And I've been coming down here for, what did we figure it out? What, 5 or 6 years now?
Yeah.
In a row. Martha Dobson, you know, works for Iditarod now, lives in the area, former Iditarod teacher of the trail. From here, I'll be heading to Asheville. I've got a few fans. We're looking forward to having a get-together in the Asheville area. In fact, the former mayor of North Pole, Alaska, just contacted me yesterday, and he lives in Asheville. So, and another former teacher on the trail lives in Asheville as well. So there's Mustang fans down here as well. From there, I'll be heading to visit my buddy Hobo Jim in Nashville, and looking forward to seeing Hobo. We've got a meeting set up for next weekend to get organized for our tour of Germany, which we'll be doing in September. Looking forward to seeing Hobo. You know, to me, he's like, seeing Alaska. I always look at Hobo and said, you've seen him in concert, Robert. That guy has more energy than anybody.
He is Alaska's version of New Jersey's The Boss, I think.
Oh, you mean Springsteen?
Yeah.
I can see that.
I can see that. I can see that as well. I can see that as well. So how are the kids taking it so far? Any good comments, stories that they've shared with you in the last week or two?
My talks are very interactive. I don't want to just sit up on stage and, you know, put these kids to sleep talking for an hour straight. So I do a lot of, I'm asking them questions because I've learned as much about their lifestyle and their school by, you know, their answers as much as what they're learning about Alaska. So I was asking the kids, I told them a story about when I moved to Alaska, I lived in a native village. And one of the kids had a really cute answer because I asked, or I told the kids that when I moved to the native villages, they didn't pay me in money or they didn't, give me a vehicle to pay for my services. So I said, how do you think they paid me? And the answer, of course, was they gave me dogs. I would get a dog a month for working for the natives, typically. But one of the kids, his response was, he said, did they give you feathers? Which I thought was pretty cute. But doing these school talks is not only a way for me to spread the word about Alaska and dog mushing, but it gets me pumped up for the future because I know I'm creating new fans for Iditarod and Quest and for Alaska. You know, Alaska's a pretty big thing in America right now. You can't turn on any reality TV channel anymore and not see a show about Alaska. I mean, look at Brent Sass and Dallas TV, and those folks have a show that just came out this weekend.
They did, and I guess it was pretty well received. I didn't get a chance to see it, but man, every day Musher's becoming world famous, isn't he?
Well, it's just we all have to realize how lucky we are to live where we do. A lot of folks might make fun of us for living up in the great land, but there's advantages we have up there. We might have to work a little bit more just to survive, but there's a lot of beauty that we have that you can't find anywhere else in the world, really.
Hugh, typically you do a lot of the same schools year after year on your tours. Any new schools that you've or places that you've talked at this year that you haven't in the past?
Oh yeah, I mean, I was you know what happened in Boston with the bombings and stuff, and I was just outside of there. I actually went by where it happened and everything, and did a bunch of schools in Natick, Massachusetts, which is a suburb. And it's interesting because, you know, all these teachers I'm talking with, and they're all friends with Doug Flutie, which I thought was like, wow, you know, coming from Chicago, he used to play for the Bears. And as a little white guy, it's always nice to see little guys do good sports.
But, you know, he went to Boston College as well, so I think that he got pretty popular from that.
Yeah, and just like we just got done watching the Bulls pretty much get destroyed by the Heat. But the one thing teams like Chicago represent is heart, and that's what's the key to Dog Mushroom. It's really not just about, you know, who has the most money, though that helps as far as putting your outfit together. It's about the people that give everything of themselves to what they believe in. That's what we're trying to represent.
I totally agree. So you're heading down next week over towards the Nashville area, Knoxville, all those areas there, past the Smoky Mountains. Where are you heading to after that? Are you heading back up to Chicago or where?
Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio.
What's the name of that team? The Buckeyes? It's funny because Bob's a Wolverine and I'm an Illinois boy, so Big Ten sort of sticks with you.
You can't get a bigger rivalry than Michigan and the Buckeyes, I don't think.
Yeah, and you were actually in the marching band at U of I for a while too, right? Yeah. Bob's a bit of a sports nut himself. But yeah, I'll be going to Columbus, and then I'll be heading back up and doing some shows in the Chicagoland area before I wrap it up, seeing some friends up in Wisconsin and doing some canoeing. But back to Bob, the amazing thing about Bob is he's a few years older than me, but he's actually one of these crazy Tony Hawk wannabes who his favorite swimming pool is a swimming pool with no water on it.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So he can get his skateboard out and start flying around trying to hurt himself.
You know, Bob, Tony Hawk is older than you or I. I guess he's right around your age. What in the world got you involved with skating? You know, I remember when I was a kid, that became pretty popular. Everybody had the cool skateboards with the rails and the trucks and all that stuff on it. Tell us a little bit about it. How in the world is that holding up in 2013 when it was so popular back in the 80s?
Yeah, it's been a resurgence. You know, it went through... Yeah, I got back into it with Dogtown and Tony Alva and all those guys when they were the hot thing. It was long before Tony Hawk. I'm going to date myself a little bit. And then it went into this whole street skating thing. And it was about 8 years ago, Charlotte actually built their first skate park. And it was a big pool, an 11.5-foot bowl. I saw this guy skating it. And about that time, I saw another show on TV about this guy in Hawaii who was 50 and had his own backyard pool. And you know, I kind of took my inspiration from you and said, you know, I can't sit here on the couch and just watch this stuff. These guys are out there living life and doing it. I got to start skating again. So I went out and bought a skateboard and started it up again. And now I've hooked up with all these guys that are, you know, in their 40s and 50s and a bunch of 13-year-old kids whose parents are building pools in their backyards for them, and we're just doing it. So, you gotta get off the couch and live life.
You do, and you know that's an extreme sport in itself. You know, I watch some of those videos on TV where those guys are just doing crazy stuff, and it's not very uncommon for somebody to end up in an emergency room with broken wrists and pelvis and hips and everything else just from riding a little skateboard.
Yeah, the one guy skateboarded over the Great Wall of China, right?
Yeah, Danny Way.
Yeah,
good Lord.
Yeah, insane. First guy to jump the wall without power.
So Bob, are you doing any of these things where you're jumping off buildings and landing on stair rails and that sort of stuff?
No. My knees are much too old for that. I'm a pool skater. I like to just carve around, and I like to say tricks are for kids, man. I rise.
Very cool. You know, Hugh, you never cease to amaze me on what you're going to have on this show. We've had all kinds of stuff.
While we're having this conversation, maybe they should come up with skeeter skateboarding, where they hook up these skateboarders to like 4 or 5 dogs. Just see what happens.
Well, yeah. I'm sure somebody would give it a shot.
If we get out behind the boat and I could show a great video of Hugh trying to kneeboard. And we figured any guy that can do the Iditarod and suffer through that pain could certainly get up on a kneeboard, but the video might say otherwise.
Yeah, they sort of like to drag me to the water around here. I'm not used to the water being so warm. When I first came down here my first year, Robert, the water here was warmer than it was in Alaska. It's like 70 degrees.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So this year, totally different.
Yeah.
Is it?
We came down here expecting to be in shorts and T-shirts, and I'm wearing a hoodie and a sweatshirt.
Jeez. So you're definitely enjoying life like you always do. I know you said you're going to hook up with Hobo Jim in Knoxville. Tell us about that trip you're planning over there towards Germany in the fall. That's going to be a pretty special event for you guys. I know that you've been talking about this at least for almost a year now. What do you got planned?
Well, first of all, I know a lot of my European friends are already asking me lots of questions, and let me talk to Hobo first before we get this totally organized. Hoping to call it the Hobo and Hugh Tour. I'm planning on bringing Walter, too, so he's going to be the star of the way I see this. And I already have people all the way up as far north as northern Sweden asking if we can come up there and do shows. I've been doing this, talks on and off now for close to 10 years. Germany will be my second, country in a row, foreign-wise, that I've gone back to. And Hobo's been going to Germany for years now. He speaks German as well as Japanese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, Hobo likes a good drinking crowd.
Yes, he does.
I'm really looking forward to it because it was his idea, and to have one of your greatest idols say, hey, you want to go hang out with me for a couple weeks? And just the chance to hang out with him is going to be, an experience. But for me, it's all about promoting Alaska. I always wanted to not be a great dog musher. I want to be a great Alaskan. So he'll be doing a lot of singing. Who knows? Maybe I'll learn how to chime in there now and again. But I'll be sharing some stories as usual and just trying to make people laugh and have a good time. Germany, is very pro-dog and really into dog mushing. They've been a part of the Quest for many years now, the German fans, and I'm really looking forward to it.
We're gonna have to get you guys some concert shirts, and just promise your listeners tonight that you're not gonna yodel up there.
Oh, I won't yodel. I might do some Morrison songs or something. I probably need a teleprompter.
be like karaoke, Hobo Jim style.
Yeah, but Hobo for me is the spirit of Alaska. I don't think as an Alaskan, Hobo lives a lot of time in Nashville. He's written for folks like the Gatlin Brothers and Ann Murray and a lot of country music stars. But for me, he defines what Alaska is all about. It's all about enjoying every day to the fullest, looking out for your fellow neighbors, and realizing how lucky you are to be where you are.
Hugh, he's such an Alaskan. The other day I ran into him at Three Bears in Palmer, pushing a cart with his cowboy hat on, just pushing it down the aisle. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, it was funny because I was in Nome last year at the Iditarod, and he was playing at the Board of Trade, the famous saloon there. And I said, Hobo, if there's anything of yours I wanted, it would always be your cowboy hat. And he looked at me and he said, you want it, you can have it. And then I tried to put it on my head, and of course, it's way, my head's way too big.
So you didn't get the cowboy hat even to hang up on a nail in the cabin then?
Yeah, it's okay. Just, you know, people don't realize it, but when I moved to Alaska, for a guy that's done as much racing as I have, I only had a couple $100 to my name, and I was actually selling Alaskan blankets at the fair there in Palmer, and that was the first time I met Hobo, was at the state fair. I just happened to walk into one of the little side cabins there, and he was playing with a group called the Sundogs that were from Oregon at the time, and just was riveted by his energy and his love for the Great Land, and that's why I've always been a dedicated follower of him wherever he's playing, whether it's Seward or Ivory Jacks up in Fairbanks. I'll travel 3-4 hours just to hear that guy play.
There you go. So you're heading back towards the end of the month to spend the summer, I assume, here in Alaska. What's on tap over the summer? I know last time we talked about doing some tours there in Tok like you did last summer. What else is on tap?
Well, I'm hoping to, I haven't finalized plans yet, but I was hoping to do tours over at the Dog Mushers Hall in Tok and promote not only, you know, Iditarod Bequest and all that, but the town of Tok and uniqueness. A lot of people look at Tok as a throughway town to get to Anchorage or Fairbanks when they don't realize how beautiful an area we live in there around the Taylor Highway and the top of the world. And hoping to do a little bit of rafting with my buddy Sam Harrell, a buddy of mine from the Fairbanks News Miner, a photographer, and just training dogs, man. I plan on running dogs all summer. I've got 25 dogs that are yearlings, 2 years of age. And the more I've been mushing, going over 10 years now, the more I realize that it's the humans that need the rest more than the dogs. I think the dogs, you know, dogs, they love attention and they love to be loved. So I plan on getting out there and running them every day if I can. Hopefully not too early in the morning where I get on my neighbor's nerves, but, you know, the dogs need that exercise.
Well, it's always good to have a state trooper as your next-door neighbor, I guess.
Oh, yeah, Sergeant Wells is a good man. He's from a place called Jackson, Mississippi, home of Walter Payton.
There you go. All these seventh degrees of everything. Hugh, we have just a couple of minutes left. Yeah. Anything else you want to mention?
Just thanks to everybody that's been helping us get here and there. My buddy Dave Scher is a good friend of yours. He's been taking care of getting me back and forth to the airport there in Anchorage, as well as our friend Lisa Seifert. Big shout out to our buddy Dawson Dolly down there in Skagway. And the neat thing about being back in Holyoke was we got to spend time hanging out with Nicole's family, and I think I might have her mom and maybe one or two of her aunts talking to coming up and following the quest next year when she tries to make it from Fairbanks to Whitehorse. So it'd be neat to get as many race fans out in the trail as possible, because that's the beauty of the quest. The Iditarod's great, but with the quest, you can actually follow the race from checkpoint to checkpoint. And as a race fan, you don't get any better than that.
The quest, most of it's on the road system there, at least to be able to drive to, even though you got to turn around and drive about 400 miles the other way to get to the other side. Quite a bit of those checkpoints are on the road system, right?
Yeah, and that way you really get to see what we're doing with the dogs during checkpoints, how we're caring for them, feeding them, just loving them up. And unless you're actually at the race and part of the energy, you have no idea how intense it can get. And, you know, folks follow it over the internet, Facebook and all that sort of stuff, but to be a part of the moment is really something special.
And the quest, unlike Iditarod, there in Dawson, where you guys spend 36 hours, there's nothing like that in Iditarod, where you guys are meeting with and talking with people days into the race, unless they fly out to some remote village somewhere.
Yeah, those would typically be, you know, just media and stuff like that. And really, you know, I'm not done talking to musher friends, but I really am hoping at least one or two of the mushers that I met in Scandinavia when I was racing in the Finnmark and some of the other races are going to see how much of an effort I made to come to their countries. And if I can do something like that, hopefully they'll be willing to return the favor, and at least one or two of those guys or girls are going to sign up for the quest. I know a whole bunch of them are doing the Iditarod.
Well, you know, I think an international flair is good for the sport, not only for the sport and the mushers and the dogs, but also for promoting it, whether it be the quest or the Iditarod or whatever else. I think any time where you're promoting it in a positive light is good for the sport, and that's what we need more of for sure.
Yeah, and you know, racing is great and all that, but if you really want to be a true dog musher, it's all about being an explorer. And you got to get out there and see different things. You can't just be doing the same trails year after year, or else, you know, it's a job. And mushing is work, and, you know, can be a little bit monotonous at times, but you've got to get out there and experience new sights, or you're not really evolving. That's the way I look at it. So that's why I'm always trying to do different things.
Well, it sounds like you are. I hope that things work out with you on the rest of the tour. I don't know if we'll be able to talk before you get back. You got a couple of weeks before you head back up here to Alaska. Maybe we'll get one more show in. 1 minute left, Hugh. Anything in closing?
Well, looking forward to seeing you, Robert, when I get back. And any of you folks that are you know, interested in a school talk, you can get a hold of me at laughingeyeskennel@hotmail.com. Or else on Facebook, and if you're passing through Tokyo this summer, look me up, swing by for a visit, and you can play with some puppies.
There you
Bob,
go.
Bob, you got any closing comments, Bob?
Good day.
And by the way, Bob thinks he's Bill Murray Jr.
There you go. Hugh Neff and his cousin Bob calling in from the Charlotte area of North Carolina. Way to go to all those NASCAR fans down there in the South. Bob, nice talking with you. There you go. Nice talking with you. We'll talk again soon. Okay, Hugh?
All right. Take care, Robert.
Take care. Hugh Neff calling in from North Carolina, part of a school tour. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.